Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Peyto's third quarter 2013 results conference call. In the room with me today, we've got the entire Peyto management team, consisting of Scott Robinson, our COO, Kathy Turgeon, our Chief Financial Officer, Dave Thomas, our VP Exploration, J.P. Lassance, our VP Exploitation, and Tim Louie, our VP of Land. And, of course, we also have Jim Grant, our Investor Awareness Representative, here with us today. Before we get started, though, today I wanted to take an opportunity to send out a great big congratulations to the entire Peyto team, including all of our guys in the field. Not only have we already exceeded our year-end 2013 production target, which was a great accomplishment, especially with all the work that was done over the last few weeks, but also I think, you know, we've celebrated our 15th anniversary as an operating company. We've had an incredible ride over the last 15 years. And, you know, I don't think there's a single company in the Canadian oil and gas industry that has enjoyed the tremendous success over the last 15 years that Peyto's enjoyed, and really that's a direct result of the hardworking team that we have at Peyto. So, you know, on behalf of all the shareholders, I just want to send out a big congratulations and thank you to the entire Peyto team. With that, Jim, why don't we kick off the Q&A for the quarter? You've got a bunch of questions compiled there, so why don't I turn it over to you?
Okay, for those of you who are new to our conference calls, we hold the first half as a question and answer session where I ask some of the senior management questions about Peyto and its latest financials before we turn the call over to questions from investors and representatives of investment businesses. So, Darren, as 2013 draws to a close, we have finished our most ambitious year to date. And in our third quarter results news release, we're suggesting that the next year is going to be even more ambitious. You refer to our growth in Q3 in terms of a record organic capital investment. Why do you feel that organic development is important?
Well, Jim, you know, I guess I think that organic development is important because I think that's where the real value is created for shareholders, especially in this oil and gas industry. When you look at a lot of acquisition metrics, for instance, most assets and really most companies, I think, are purchased at the end of the day for what they're worth. You know, it's easy to evaluate the value of a producing asset because there's a lot of information in the public domain. So in some ways, it's pretty hard to make any return on that capital that you deploy for acquisition. The real value creation comes in taking an idea and turning that into a producing asset, and an asset ultimately that's worth more than what it costs you to build it or to develop and produce it in the case of oil and gas. And I think that's where the real value is created. So really when you think about it, capturing the resource for the idea is only a very small part of the ultimate value creation cycle, the bigger part being the execution part, taking that idea, going out and drilling the well, getting it on production and starting to generate cash flow and producing it. And yet, the funny part is that most companies in our industry want to be rewarded for the resource captured part. You know, they don't want to do the real work of executing on the ideas. And, you know, that's, I think, also where a lot of investors tend to get very disappointed, because they think that once a company's captured the resource, the hard part's done, and the execution is something anybody can do. And then they find out it's the exact opposite of that. So, you know, these days, with the way land prices are, I mean, anybody can go out really and buy land, capture some resource. But very few companies really know how to turn that into a producing asset that can generate profit. You know, we're seeing a lot of companies go through a lot of transition right now and a lot of reorganization right now because they can't seem to allocate capital efficiently. They can't seem to execute efficiently, even if they have the resource. And so that's why we tend to stress a lot about organic development, because that's all about the execution. And, you know, that's where I think the real value creation lies.
Okay. Now, turning to Scott Robinson, our COO and VP of Operations. Scott, can you provide some comments about our production level for the third quarter period in light of the short-term drop experienced in AECO price during August and September? And also provide an update on what has transpired production-wise over October and November since the end of the third quarter?
Yeah, Jim, to start off with, I'd like to say that we're extremely excited about the recent happenings in the company, and I think that was stressed in our release. Our production additions, as well as the individual well results, have been very significant. Some of the best wells we've drilled in the history of the company. So we're excited to carry that forward. But just to step back to the third quarter, we did get a slow start, as we said. Wet weather kind of escorted us into July, and secondly, on the back half of the quarter, we more or less controlled our production in light of what was a temporary low in Alberta gas prices. So the wet weather and the control of our production led to us holding back from where we could have been, those two factors causing us to hold back about 2,000 barrels a day. But the quarter ended very solidly as we came out of September. Prices were back right where we expected and wanted them to be, and we brought on stream a bunch of accumulated production coming out of the quarter at about 60,000 barrels. We walked our production up to the mid-60,000 range at the end of October. And then very recently here, there was a culmination of a lot of hard work in the form of bringing some facilities on stream, and the continuation of significant well results all added up to us pushing over that 70,000 mark. So that's where we are today. A little bit above 70, and very happy with the results we've seen recently here.
So, Scott, we were very active drilling over the summer and developing new facilities. Can you give us an overview of the level of activity we saw and what you would highlight specifically in that activity to our investors?
During the third quarter, we started off with about 10 rigs, and over the course of the quarter, we fell back to 9 for a fair bit of the quarter. Put the 34 wells on the board, and since the end of the quarter, we've drilled another 9. We've got about 12 more to go for the rest of the year. Those numbers are all in the press release of where we're headed. As we stated, during the quarter, we commenced the construction of those facilities that were recently completed, and the costs look very good. I'm hearing that we may have come under on some of those, so that's pleasing to hear. The new facility capacity amounts to about 70 million a day and sets us up for continued expansion and growth in the successful areas that we've situated them. With respect to highlights, I think there's a few key highlights that we can briefly summarize. Again, we've got some very prolific wells that set the stage for continued development in the area that those wells were drilled. We've put in place some critical infrastructure expansion that will provide an expanded foundation for our future growth. And we've seen some significant cost improvements on various aspects of our drilling and completions that should continue to contribute to our capital efficiencies in the future. So, and then thirdly, I guess very obviously, the significant startup of our new area, the Brazeau area, with that plant commissioning. So those are a few of the highlights.
Right. So turning to J.P. Lachance, our VP of Exploitation, with the production additions that Scott just talked about, can you talk about the potency of our most recent wells?
Thanks, Jim. Cato's operating practice has always been to bring wells on with downhole chokes and restrict production to manage the impacts on our surface facilities. So we don't tend to make the top 10 well lists very often. However, the quality of the wells which we brought on over the last 2 months have been impressive, as Scott mentioned, while still honoring that practice. Looking back earlier in the year, our new well average rates over the first month of production were about 3 to 4 million cubic feet a day per well, whereas recent wells are closer to that 5 million a day on average, or about 800 BOEs a day per well. And considering that our average cost to drill and complete a well are at $4.3 million, it makes for great returns, providing these initial rates hold up. The increase in rates comes in part from the species of wells that we've drilled over the third and the fourth quarters here, with a focus on the Blue Sky, Upper Flare, and along with some targeted Wilbridge areas. It's also in part to increase frac density in zones where we believe we're getting sustained improvement, not just initial flush production, and from increasingly longer horizontal wells. A real measure of success is in the long-term production, and as always, we'll continue to monitor performance and adjust accordingly.
I'll direct the next question to Dave Thomas, our VP of Exploration. Dave, we continue to have an impressive inventory of future drilling locations. How have these evolved as we add both in the vertical dimension as well as the area we cover? How do longer horizontal laterals impact our drilling inventory and our undeveloped reserves?
Jim, a constant theme for Peyto has been drilling the vertically stacked multi-zone potential in the Deep Basin. I'd like to highlight that in Peyto's three newest geographical play areas, we're staying true to the strategy. Down at our new Brazo area, in addition to the Wilrich wells Peyto has drilled and planned, we've also recently spot our first test of the Upper Falaire Zone, a zone which has been very good to us up in Sundance. In early December, we also spot our first Wilrich well in South Brazo, which is a very significant step out from our initial Brazo wells. And we'll leave the rig down there in January to test a Middle Falaire sand from the same surface lease. Ansel is another new area which we've begun testing for the vertically stacked multi-zone potential, but while we continue on with our successful Wilrich program there, we've also spud and tested a very good Cardium horizontal well. Plus, we've recently spud a horizontal test of a Falaire sand situated a little bit deeper than our typical Middle Falaire targets, and this will be the first test of the sand at this stratigraphic level for Peyto. The third area in which Peyto has just started to test the multi-zone horizontal potential is at Pedley, located southwest of our very successful Obed horizontal play area. The Nauticuan in the Pedley area is especially prolific, and Peyto is very pleased with the initial results of our first two Nauticuan wells, which we drilled and completed but not yet tied in. Peyto has also identified both upper and middle Falaire targets on those Pedley lands, and we intend to drill both of those zones during 2014.
Jim, the last thing I wanted to comment on was the gradual evolution of our lateral leg drilling at Peyto. Since we resumed drilling this past July, we've been increasing the length of some of our laterals, the longest of which has been our most recent Wilrich well down at Brazo, which we drilled to a measured depth of over 5,200 meters, including the 2,100-meter lateral leg, which was drilled with a single drill bit. Peyto plans to drill an additional 10 wells with lateral legs over 2,000 meters before the end of the 2014 winter drilling season. At our Brazo area, almost all of our land is held 100%, and there's no obstacle to drilling across section boundaries. Up in the Sundance area, there is more variability in Peyto's land ownership, but in our key Spirit River plays, including the Wilrich, Nauticuan, and Falaire zones, over 75% of our lands have common working interests and could be candidates for longer lateral legs. So Peyto's just starting to evaluate how this may impact our drilling inventory. Drilling longer laterals could see an increase in profitability, but perhaps a small reduction in inventory. However, additional new inventory could be added where more reservoir is made economic by drilling longer lateral legs. What does seem sure in the end is that drilling longer lateral legs can further increase Peyto's already low-cost advantages.
Okay. JP, in our third quarter results press release, we mentioned that the Brazo River plant is now operational. Can you elaborate on well performance and our future plans in that area?
Jim, our first Brazo well has been waiting patiently for almost 2 years as we built out our land position, constructed the first phase of our compression facility, and waited for our own connection to TransCanada pipelines. But the well doesn't appear to be too upset by the wait, as it's currently producing at a restricted rate of 5 million a day with lots of casing pressure over the last couple of weeks. Another well, also adding 5 million a day, tops up the current 10 million cubic feet a day of capacity there. We've got a second compression unit which will be hooked up shortly to provide another 10 million a day of throughput for our third standing well. And this will also allow provide some space for the other wells currently drilling in Q4. We have 15 additional wells planned in 2014 across our large land position targeting the Wilrich, the Falaire, and Nauticuan formations. Commensurate with that drilling program, we plan to expand the facility in 2014. Adding refrigeration process and additional compression to double this capacity to 40 million cubic feet a day. So it's early days, but great to see production now coming from that area.
So the next question goes to Tim Louie, our VP of Land. Tim, that growth of inventory includes land, of course. Can you give us an overview of what we have added in land, and can you comment on the upcoming expiries in 2014?
Thanks, Jim. Over the first three quarters, $5.2 million was spent at Crown Sales to acquire 38 sections, of which 15 sections were acquired in Q3. At the end of the third quarter, our corporate acreage count was 418,000 net acres, or 653 net sections. We did purchase 11 more sections at sales in October and November, so year-to-date we spent $6.4 million to acquire 49 sections. In our second quarter conference call, Darren mentioned our new focus area at Brazeau. So throughout the year, we've continued to increase our land position here. Out of the 49 sections acquired at Crown Sales this year, 23 sections are located at Brazeau. We also closed two asset deals in May and August, which resulted in the addition of 26 net sections. So we now have a total of 106 net sections at Brazeau. With regards to the second part of your question, 67 net sections are due to expire in 2014. However, 29 sections, or 43% of the expiries, will be continued by wells already drilled on these lands. So realistically, there's only about 12 sections that are in jeopardy of expiring, but this represents less than 2% of our total net acreage. So these low expiry numbers, it ties back to Darren's initial comments, where Peyto's able to execute on our plans efficiently and convert our undeveloped lands into producing assets.
Okay. Turning to Kathy Turgeon, our CFO and VP of Finance. Kathy, one of the latest developments in our financial picture is another issue of senior notes. Unlike previous years when our credit line is expanded when reviewed by our banking syndicate, we now are able to increase our borrowing capacity when we issue notes. What has changed to give us this greater financial flexibility?
Well, Jim, until the spring of 2013, we had a borrowing base for our bank facility, which meant when we issued notes, our borrowing capacity didn't change. It just decreased our bank line dollar for dollar with the notes issued. However, in April of 2013, we moved to an unsecured credit facility, which basically decoupled the notes and the bank line. And as long as we operate within the financial covenants associated with our credit facility, we're free to add notes with no reduction to our bank line. However, we still have the same philosophy at Peyto in being conservative with our debt. And that's not going to change, even though our ability to manage our own debt load is now more in our own hands.
Right. So, Darren, we released news earlier in the quarter about a lawsuit regarding Poseidon and a potential liability we inherited as part of the Open Range purchase. Can you explain to shareholders what this is and what it means?
Sure, Jim. So there's two lawsuits, actually, and both of them revolve around, I guess, the same basic issue, and that's the ultimate failure and demise of a completely separate oil field service company called Poseidon. How Peyto becomes involved is that Poseidon, about a year prior to its demise, spun out a separate company called Open Range Energy, and of course that's the company that Peyto acquired. Prior to the acquisition, both Open Range and Poseidon were independently traded, completely separate public companies. But they shared some of the same directors, and that's where the hitch comes. So the first lawsuit is a class action of the Poseidon shareholders against the management and directors of Poseidon. And the second lawsuit is the company Poseidon actually suing its own management and directors. And because some of those directors were also directors of the Open Range Energy that we bought, then by extension, they're trying to hold Open Range Energy accountable. And since we inherited Open Range Energy, they believe they can hold Peyto accountable. Both lawsuits are at a very early stage in the process, and so we don't know a lot about them, but we've looked at them, and we definitely believe internally that neither has any merit at all with respect to Peyto. Regardless, though, I mean, we intend to vigorously protect the interests of Peyto and its shareholders going forward. So as more information obviously becomes available on these, and as we understand them more, we'll be communicating that to our shareholders.
Okay. Scott, looking ahead to 2014, we've suggested that there will be several instances where we fill out capacity of the new facilities that we've just brought online. Can you give us an overview of infrastructure plans going forward?
Yeah, Jim, obviously, as we wrap up 2013, it's been a year of very important facility investment. And looking forward to next year, we don't expect the same need for that level of investment, mainly because we've set the foundation already for next year. For 2014, we've got some compression expansion projects, as well as, JP mentioned, an expansion at Brazeau, a plant expansion or process expansion. So collectively, those things will add about $55 million of capacity. In addition, we've got some equipment that we're ordering for about another $30 million of capacity that will situate where that capacity is deemed necessary as our drilling results come in. So in total, over the year, we're setting aside or planning capital that will add about $85 million of capacity to our current 510. So that's going to take us up towards that $600 million of total corporate capacity.
Okay. JP, our latest news release discussed our capital budget, drilling plans, target production, and our expected decline rate for our base wells in 2014. Can you provide more context regarding the aspects of our 2014 capital plan?
And Jim, the press release does a good job at breaking down the allocation of the capital between drilling facilities and new opportunities. So I'll expand on the 110 to 125 well drilling program a little more. We had great success with our Upper Flare and Blue Sky programs over the past year. So those plays will continue to occupy their ranking in our portfolio with similar well counts to this year at about 15 to 20% of the program. We plan to drill a large portion of the program in the Wilrich, where we still have a vast resource, in the range of 35 to 40% of our well count. The Notikewin has provided some exciting results, as Dave mentioned earlier. So we'll continue to develop those new trends and exploit existing ones with about 15% of the well allocation. And the Middle Flare and Liquid Rich Cardium will round out the rest of our program. But of course, we'll remain flexible as results dictate. As far as geographic breakdowns, I mentioned the 15 wells in Brazil earlier we expect to drill. We'll also target areas around the extensions of our infrastructure in Mount Ansell and Pedley. But we expect to drill over half of our program in the greater Sundance area, where we have our six operated plants. As Dave mentioned, we'll look at extending horizontals and increase frac densities where it makes sense to improve our returns. So when we model our drilling plans for 2014 from the bottom up, we apply our production type curves and our current drill costs. We expect to add around 32,000 to 35,000 BOEs a day of net production with this range of capital, yielding capital efficiency of less than 18,000 per flowing BOE, and that's consistent with our past. This, coupled with our estimated 34% decline over 2014, has us exit 2014 in that 80,000 BOE a day range. Now, I'll comment on declines. The 34% base decline for 2014 is made up of a wedge of production from our new 2013 wells, and also a significant number of older mature wells. And as is the nature of tight gas, we see steeper initial decline rates with new wells, which will decrease over time. So our 2013 program is estimated to make up about 33,000 of that projected 71,000 exit, and that program as a whole is forecast to decline at 50% over the year in 2014, while the balance of the base production coming into 2014 of 38,000 BOEs a day from our more mature wells is expected to decline as a group by 20% over 2014. So putting those wedges together into proportions yields a blended decline rate of 34% over 2014.
Okay. Darren, as we head towards the end of an extremely productive year, what have we learned and how will we apply that to the even more ambitious pace we have set for ourselves in the new year?
You know, Jim, it's funny because somebody had sent me a note saying that I'd written a monthly report, maybe several months ago, about how $500 million was the most we'd ever spent, and we didn't know whether we could spend more than that as a team, and because we have obviously a pretty small and efficient team with only 42-43 people here at Pedo. So, and here we are looking at a capital program that's significantly bigger than that. But, you know, I think we've gained a lot of confidence over the last summer. The 10 rigs that we were running for the last several months, the types of wells that we were drilling, the execution efficiency that we been able to deliver, I think we've gained a lot of confidence that we actually have another gear, that we can deploy more capital as efficiently as we have been over the past 4 years. You know, really our consistency with respect to execution has really been unbelievable. You know, our capital efficiency, as JP was talking about, repeatable every single year over the last 4 years. And nobody in the industry is really putting up numbers like that. Nobody's building it as efficiently as we are. And nobody's generating as much profit as we are from what we're building. And that's kind of key. You know, there's other, I guess, basins in North America. There's other players, even in the Deep Basin, for instance, that are putting up growth numbers. But the growth, you know, it has to be profitable growth. Otherwise, what's the point? The shareholders shouldn't be interested in growth if it's not profitable, if we can't prove that there's some profitability there. And, you know, I think ours, we've proven that it's very profitable. So the growth that we have put up per share is very meaningful, I think, to shareholders. And so, you know, I think we go into next year with a lot of confidence. The program that we've put together for 2014 is not dissimilar from 2013 in terms of really the species of wells we're drilling and the types of plays we're developing, even in the areas that we're working in. We've got a lot more confidence. Being able to drill wells down in Brazeau, for instance, which was a new area for us, and build facilities down there. We've got a lot of confidence with the assets that we're moving forward in many of the areas. And quite frankly, at $3 gas prices, which is what we're looking at today, our profitability is very strong. And so we're quite excited about deploying capital and generating good profit on that capital next year. Of course, the flip side is always that gas prices could deteriorate on us. I mean, we've had 2 years where in the summer gas has fallen away on us a little bit, but it really hasn't slowed us down. You know, I think investors can take a lot of comfort away from the fact that, you know, in two very difficult gas price years, Peyto's managed to plow right through and execute our plan quite efficiently, continue to grow profitably through those periods. So, you know, I think the bottom line is that there's very few companies in our industry today that can profitably grow their business for shareholders. And, you know, Peyto stands out in the Canadian energy space as a very unique entity that's able to do that.
The first question is from Robert Belinsky with Morningstar. Please go ahead.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for taking my call and congratulations on 15 years. Just had one quick one. Drilling inventory is up about 30% since this time last year, but the number of wells you plan to drill in 2014 is only expected to be up 10 to 25%. I was wondering if you could give some thoughts about your willingness to increase drilling to keep those figures in parity as long as capital efficiency isn't impacted.
You know, Robert, over the last several years, in fact, really since I think we started to use horizontal multi-stage frac well designs, we've seen our inventory and our assessment of the inventory in our land base expand faster, really, than we're able to develop it and to execute on it, which is both a good thing and a bad thing, kind of, as you point out. You know, we've got all these locations that we've yet to drill, which in some ways makes it challenging for us to look at new land and new opportunities and how much do we want to put towards capturing new opportunities when we've got so much inventory. And at the same time, we're challenged to try and do more, to continue to expand our capital programs, to drill more wells, to convert more into producing assets, because obviously that's where the cash flow comes from, and that's where the real value add is for shareholders. So, you know, I think we've done both. I think we've definitely upped our game and found another gear here, and we're looking to drill a record number of wells next year within the company and do that as efficiently as we've done over the last 4 years. You know, arguably, we don't want to just go faster and get bigger and lose efficiency. There's no point to that. We want to maintain the profitability that we have and efficiency we have today. There's no question if we're going to go faster. Otherwise, we might as well just slow down and regain our efficiencies rather than, you know, harvest our inventory at lower efficiency. But, you know, it's, I think, a testament to the Deep Basin, how much opportunity there really is out there, that we've seen our inventory set expand so much. A lot of, perhaps, our peers in the Deep Basin, with all of this resource that is available, would be looking to farm it out. They'd be looking to get some other operator in to help them develop it. Maybe they'd be looking to raise some capital from some foreign entity to put to work there. But, you know, the fact of the matter is we're the most efficient developer in the Deep Basin, so we're not going to find somebody more efficient than us to come along and help us develop these resources. So we're going to have to just
knuckle down and see if we can't do more ourselves. But at the end of the day, we've been putting up some incredible growth numbers, profitable growth numbers that we can prove we're making good return on. So, I understand the little bit of the frustration, perhaps, that shareholders see that we've got this massive resource potential and we want to try and unlock it as fast as we can. But the reality is we have to unlock it profitably. There's just too many examples, shale plays and stuff in the U.S. where they've unlocked a lot of the resource, but nobody's making any money at it. And that's just not what we're interested in. And really, that's of no value, I don't think, to our shareholders.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
See you, Betcha.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. The next question is from Yasin Bogov with Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys. I just had a quick question on your realized price in Q3. It seemed a little bit weaker than it's historically been. So I was just kind of wondering if you can give us a sense of what you model and expect for liquids going forward in next year.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts, obviously, in Q3, combining for that realized price. We had the daily gas price was obviously very low. The monthly gas price was significantly better. We tend to put almost all of our gas to the monthly price because we operate all our own facilities and control all our gas flows, so we can actually commit our gas to the next month and get a little bit better price. And then there was the volatility in the liquids pricing, and definitely, we've got, especially in Q3, we had a larger percentage of propane of our liquid blend coming principally from our cheap cut facility at Oldman. Obviously, we had that running solidly through the quarter. And then just as a percentage of our total production, that cheap cut volume was a little higher. As we go forward, we're actually going to dilute that down a little bit because it's a fixed amount of volume going through the cheap cut, and we're basically processing a lot of this incremental volume under, I guess, the more shallow cut facilities that we traditionally build. So the liquid blend itself will probably move more towards condensates and pentanes going forward than towards propanes. And then we've seen some volatility in propane prices too, of course. We had some glut of propane that the market's been working through for the last few years, and we're starting to finally see some relief on that front. Propane prices have gone through a bit of recovery. So going forward, I think we're likely to see our average liquids blend move a little bit back towards a heavier blend, and I think ultimately back towards a higher or maybe a less offset to light oil prices, and hopefully a higher realized price for the liquids piece. And we've obviously seen an improvement in gas prices too from that from the last the couple of months in the summer when they were so low.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the question.
Thank you. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Mr. G.
Great. We understand there's a lot of investor relations activity going on this week, so appreciate those investors that tuned in and listened to the call. As Scott alluded to, we're drilling some of the best wells we've ever drilled in the company's 15-year history right now. So, I have to say that we're having a lot of fun right now at Peyto, and we're really looking forward to finishing this year off with a bang. Depending on how much we can get tied in by the end of the year, we could definitely finish this year off with a flourish and really head into 2014 with a strong start. And the way 2014 is looking right now, it's looking extremely encouraging. So a lot of that momentum hopefully carries us into 2014. The profitability obviously being key, but we're quite confident that we're generating very good return on the capital that we're putting to work today. So we'll be back to you in the new year with the fourth quarter results. Until then, keep a watch on the website for monthly reports and more periodic updates, and we'll be back to you then. Thanks a lot.